Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Lake Effect essayist Jim Spangler wishes politicians would read more Shakespeare, especially the line in Richard III that goes, "When words are scarce, they are seldom wasted."
Spangler himself tries to take that lesson to heart in covering three separate topics in the span of one essay, starting with the demise of the family reunion.
Does your family have family reunions? Last summer, for the first time since 1935, there was no family reunion of our clan. As a boy, I remember 40 or 50 or more of our folks getting together, usually on somebody's farm, on one side of the Mississippi River or the other. So what killed our family reunion? Geography, mostly. Back then, people stayed put and didn't chase the economic crops across the country, with only a few exceptions. Dad's sister married a guy from California and moved to Pasadena. Aunt Pat moved to Las Vegas, but in her case, she was forgiven. You see, her husband was gassed in World War I, and the Iowa winters increasingly caused trouble with his gas-scarred lungs. That forced a move to the desert. Certainly, the weakening of the extended family is not news. Since so many of us live somewhere other than where we were raised, we have a hard time reinforcing those extended family ties. Baptisms, weddings, graduations, and wedding anniversary celebrations are hard to make when it's 500 miles each way on a weekend. As a result, many of we corporate nomads, and our numbers increase with each generation, don't really know our extended family members very well, and we have little in common with them or they with us. We are as strangers to each other. How do you keep a family reunion going with a bunch of strangers? Sad but true, fading family reunions are another unintended consequence of economic change. Now, having dissected the demise of family reunions, let's turn to the tattooed generation. Summer shows a lot more skin, and last summer's skin showed a lot more tattoos. But not for me. Even in the Marines, I was always a couple of beers shy of thinking a tattoo was a good idea. For those people who have tattoos, and we're talking about those whole arm or leg tattoos, the little butterflies are probably okay. I hope they really like the way they look, because they will be looking at them when they're 70. And having passed that age milestone a few years ago, I have seen many trends and fads come and go. Mostly reversible, thankfully. Blue hair, well, you can color it or just let it grow. Long hair of the 70s, gone, and then short hair. And now, long hair again, at least on football players. Wide lapels or narrow, same for neckties. Business casual or blue suits, white shirts, and red ties. All that keeps the suit stores in business. But one thing is certain about any fad or trend. It's only temporary. And that means the tattoo fad will end. And when the trend fades, the tattoo won't. A generation or less from now, when the next non-tattoo fad is well underway, will the folks then look at the inked-up people of today and say, "What in the world were they thinking?" And now that I've irritated the liberally tattooed among us, let me turn to the electrification of the auto industry. I saw yet another Chevy Volt, the all-electric General Motors car, the other day. They are becoming more common, along with Tesla for the high rollers among us. Carol and I could go to an all-electric car, I guess. The federal government still has a nice rebate for buying one. Imagine money flowing from Washington to our house for a change. The range between charges is getting longer, and if this fellow Musk has his way, soon the miles between charges will be the same as the miles between fill-ups. So we could drive the electric car for errands around town during the day, congratulating ourselves about the gas we weren't burning or the pollution we weren't causing. We'd plug the car in at night so we'd all be recharged in the morning, us and the electric car. But where's all this electricity coming from? Do we have the electrical generating capacity for a million Wisconsin cars in addition to all of our other electrical needs? I don't know. But what I do know or what I should say, is what the U.S. Energy Information Administration knows, is that in 2016, 52% of Wisconsin's electricity was generated by, are you ready? Coal. Dirty old coal. So as my wife and I would kilowatt around in our electric car, every other mile would be powered by coal. A 21st century version of the 1900 Stanley Steamer. A steam boiler-powered car fueled by you-know-what.
Lake Effect essayist Jim Spangler is a retired newspaperman who now lives in Brookfield.